no reservation. You're not looking for perfection. There's no need in me pretending. I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. You deserve my full attention. Nothing less than my devotion. Oh, speak to me and I will listen. I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. Lift it up.
Oh,
With no distractions, yeah.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It is now 10 minutes past the hour here. No, 12 minutes, excuse me, past the hour. It is May 9th, year of our Lord, 2024. And here we are, back together again, in front of God's beautiful creation, sun shining on the water, sun shining from the mountains above, God shining his grace and his mercy and his salvation and his love and his blessings upon each and every one of us here this morning. I feel it today, guys. I feel the happiness. I feel the joy. I feel the light. I feel the power. I really do. I got a smile going from ear to ear. I could feel my tear ducts starting to water up for no reason, just that we're here. and that we're together. JT for Freedom Eli says, rumbled, and I finally figured out how to share. Awesome. Grace of God, right? Beautiful worship. The joy of our Lord is our strength, said my rock and salvation. Press into God with all your heart and your soul. Amen. Good morning, Meemaw Becky. Good morning, Cat352. Good to see you. T. Mitchell is here as always. Race Mom is in the building. How are you, Race Mom? Carla Hare, Brown Sugar. Splendor Face says, every day is a new beautiful gift from God. Let no one steal your joy. I mean, that's the one thing that nobody can take from you is your joy and your salvation. But your joy here on earth, it's up to you. It's not up to anybody else. You can find joy in the worst situations. River Rat says, I love seeing the youth worshiping Yahweh. And I love that you use the word Yahweh, the name Yahweh. And still great to have you here, Rumble Rat. What is this? 3 weeks now? 3 weeks, maybe a month now you've been here. Rev Rockin' Rev Dean, good morning, man. Good to see you, brother. Joe M.A. Cat says, I love LFA. Me too. My favorite station to watch. So many young people at Brandon Lake last week, says L. Brower. Well, he is that youthful face of Christianity for so many people out there. He really is. Kittenhead says, watching from northeastern Georgia. Well, that's awesome. Good to have you here. Gen Z will be saved, and all those I don't know lingo, LOL, be saved. Good morning, Love in America. Good morning, Grammy Love and Beth Seapool. Good morning, everyone. She says, I feel the Spirit of the Lord is among us. Well, I do too. And I got a lot to go through today, so we're not going to mince any words. We're going to get right into the meat and potato of things. If you guys please open up your verses of the day today, you'll see that I titled it Having Credentials. Now, I sent out two. I think the first one, it says it's titled Having Credentials, but I don't think the subtitle actually changed. I think it still says Peacemaker, but I did get one out there this morning to you guys. It is called Having Credentials, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer right now to have the Lord guide us through today's message, guide us through today's word, and then hopefully at the end of today, we'll even have more knowledge of the word so that we can get out there and show our credentials to everybody in public, right? All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Please remove your hats if you're wearing one. And let's all take a deep breath, shed off the problems of yesterday, because, you know, it's not today. Shed the problems of tomorrow, you know, because they're not here yet. And let's think about and focus on the greatness of what God does give us today, okay? Lord and Heavenly Father, today on this Thursday, already May 9th, Lord, they say that time flies by when you're having fun. Well, I got to tell you, I'm having a lot of fun in the word of the Lord every morning. I'm having a lot of fun with the direction that you've got me and so many great people that are watching and listening this morning. The directions that you have us on, we're so grateful and happy. And yeah, you're right. Time does fly when you're having fun, but you also experience more throughout the day when you are on a journey with your beloved son, Jesus. And while time doesn't really ever stand still, I do feel like more happens in a day now than I did 10 years ago. And that's all attributed to your word and the things that you've opened my eyes to, Lord, and the things that you have revealed to me that would not be revealed to me without studying your word, reading your word, having dialogue and discussion with other believers, having this great fellowship. Even though it's a digital fellowship, we're still together every morning, gathered together in your word, in your name. And that is so important and so great. And Lord, we just want to make sure that we are looking at our credentials that you have given to us and understanding where those credentials came from. And then not only that, qualifying ourselves to be credentialed further to be able to go out there and represent your word as ambassadors of the light. And I just thank the Holy Spirit so very much inside, Lord. You know, when I pray to you, I tend to focus solely on talking with you. But I got to remember that there are two others here in the room as well. And that is the Son, Jesus, and our wonderful Holy Spirit that guides us. And I'm so grateful for three persons in one. And as we go through today's message today, Lord, just be here with us and guide us. And that's all I ask. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys, Rachel Hawk says, wow, I'm late. Well, guess what? Better late than never, because we haven't even started the verses yet. So I want to get into today's description, which is Rise Up, episode number 343. And I say this, every single job in the world requires the credentials to do that specific job. You can't just start working somewhere without the proper credentials. Why is that? Well, first of all, you need to be qualified. Then you need to be cleared to work for that company, to work in that industry, to have any kind of involvement in a work, in a job, anywhere. You need to be qualified, hired, credentialed, cleared, and put on the job. Well, today's message will discuss all of this in length as it pertains to the message. And I'm going to ask to make sure that you are signed in, that you have rumbled this show, and that you have shared this video, okay? All of that is a necessity of being a Rise Up family member. Because if we're not even doing that, then we're definitely, definitely not going to spread the gospel. If we're not even going to be able to do that here, then most likely the people that aren't doing that are definitely not either qualified, credentialed, or in the right mind frame to get out there and do it in real life. Okay? This is where we start, and we take it from here, and we go out there and we do our jobs. Now, if you open up your Bibles, T. Mitchell says, unless you work for the Biden regime, then you have no qualifications. Well, I tend to disagree. You need to be anti-God. You need to be, that's a credential. You need to be anti-America. That's definitely a prerequisite. And you definitely need to be of the homosexual orientation. Those things are definitely needed to be part of the Biden administration, I would assume. Homeskillet says, I cried until 3 a.m. Now I can't stop smiling. Gotta love a new day. Isn't that something? How you can go from smiles to cries, cries to smiles, all within a few minutes just by the grace of God. If you open up your Bibles today, you're going to want to open up to 2 Timothy 2:14. That's where we're going to start today. 2 Timothy 2:14. And it's actually long what we're going to go through today. But it's all about being credentialed. Now, I'm going to read you these verses, and then I've got a rather long video to show you. And the reason why I'm going to show you the long video today, Jeremy, you are a pip. Did you mean a pimp? I'm not that. If you mean a pip, am I picture in picture? What is that? Just let me know what that is, and I'll try to catch that. We're going to go through the Davis verses, and then we're going to get to a video. And the reason why for the long video is because it's talking about how we're supposed to study the Word of God. Like, what are we supposed to do? A lot of people out there just don't even know how, don't know where to start, don't know what to do. And I've got an incredible video for you this morning from this guy who travels around to different Christian schools and academies and, you know, preaches this message about understanding the Bible, how to do it, how to do a Bible study. Like, you want to do a Bible study? Great. Well, how do you do it? And that's what we're going to get to today. We're going to take it back to basics, folks. Right now, I need you to open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:14. And while you're doing that, and it's in the New Testament, it's over by it's near you know, like Philippians, Philemon, Galatians, it's all there. It's after the Gospels in the New Testament if you're looking for it. Somebody said, Pip, that's old school. I still don't, I guess it's so old school. I don't know what it is. Eli, do you know what that is? PIP? Oh, do you know what PIP is? The acronym? Somebody calls you a Pip? No. Neither do I. So I guess we're not old school enough. Remember, TV is picture in picture. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Picture in picture as well. If somebody would just tell me what it is, everybody knows what it is. I haven't heard that word in years. My mom used to say that. It means a funny guy, Eli. Means a funny guy. Never heard that. I like it. although I thought they were trying to say pimp. And I'm like, well, I'm not that either. But yes, MDUS after First Timothy. That's good. That's good. Wow. So a lot of people seem to know what it is. I never knew. It means you're funny. I like that. I like that. You know, in high school, I got class clown. So I would assume that that's probably correct. Anyway, 2 Timothy 2:14 is titled, A Worker Approved by God. So if we're children of God, we believe in God, we try to follow Jesus' word every day to the T, obviously falling short every day. That's why we need him. Otherwise, we wouldn't need him. And that's the point of it all. Are we ambassadors of the light? Are we workers approved by God? Well, let's go to this verse right now. And I'm going to read from 14. I may stop throughout, but here we go. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now let's stop right there. Let's stop. Let's reread. Let's understand what we just read. Remind them of these things and charge them before God, not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Well, this is talking about people spreading the gospel, folks. This is talking about people spreading the gospel, spreading the word of God. It's basically saying, don't split hairs and don't quarrel about words, which does no good, but it's only going to turn the people off in which you are trying to speak the gospel to. You know who's a great example of how to do it? It's Ray Comfort. Now, you may like Ray, you may not, but you cannot deny that he's got an uncanny ability to be able to get the hearer to hear. And not just to hear, but also to listen. Do your best, verse 15, to present yourself to God as one who is approved. Qualified. Thank you, U.S. Navy Mom, for the $10 donation. We appreciate that more than you know. I know it's not easy, but we thank you. A worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, do you want to know how you cannot rightly handle the word of truth? If you're not relying on the Holy Spirit to do it. I cannot rightly handle the word of truth. Jeremy Harrell cannot do that. I'm not capable. I'm not worthy. But what makes me capable is the Holy Spirit. And what makes me worthy is Jesus Christ. This is why God is three in one. You've got the Godhead, which is Yahweh. You've got the Son that makes us worthy, and you've got the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and makes us capable of understanding. Otherwise, we don't have the ability. It is impossible. But this right here got me. This right here, verse 16 in 2 Timothy 2, 2:16, this one convicted me this morning. This part of this verse is what prompted me to actually do this show today, the way we're doing it. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Wow. Wow. I'm having problems getting my auto donation started. Are you trying to do it here on Rumble, or are you trying to do it on JeremyHarrell.com? It would be better for you to do it on JeremyHarrell.com than it would be on Rumble. But if you're having a Rumble problem, please just email support@rumble.com and they'll be able to help you out, okay? And I thank you for that a lot. I really do. That one right there, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead into more and more ungodliness. Do you know how much irreverent babble that comes out of my mouth a day? Things that really don't need to be said just to get a laugh out of somebody or to start a conversation or to be the one that makes the most funniest point, even at the expense of maybe hurting somebody else who's not even in the room to be able to defend themselves. Not even like gossip, but just I joke a lot. I do joke a lot. But it says, avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. I want to have context here. We're talking about spreading the gospel. We're not talking about your everyday life. That's what got me, is I was thinking that this was talking about. Now, in a way, you do have to follow this. I mean, you want everything to come out of your mouth to be godly. You want it to be positive. You want it to uplift or encourage somebody else. And you can do irreverent babble and do that every day. But if you are spreading the gospel, it says to avoid doing this. Jeremy, you are blowing my mind. Because just this morning I was listening to what Mormons believe. I didn't know that they believe Jesus and the Holy Spirit are separate from God. My friend has been influenced. Exactly. The trifecto, amazing. Irreverent babble equals mindless chatter. So, when you're talking about the Word of God, when you're spreading the Word of God, when you are preaching the gospel out there, when you are being a representative or a worker who's approved by God, it tells you to not quarrel about words because it only ruins it for the people you're trying to talk to. Do your best to present yourself as one that God would approve, not to be ashamed because you're rightly handling the word. And it says, don't have mindless chatter or mindless babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. You will lead by example, and they will see how you're handling yourselves when you are spreading the word of God, when you're at work. Because when you're spreading the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, you are signed in. You are checked in. You are signed in. You are clocked in. You are on the clock. You are on the job. Right? And then it says, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have served from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows who those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So, that's saying, you can do all these things, urge you not to, but if you do, the Lord will know. The Lord will know immediately who belongs to him, who those who are his, and those who are not. And that's what you need to fear. Now, let's move on here. Verse 20 says, now in the great house, there are only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. But not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. This is all talking about working for God. It's all talking about being on the clock, guys. The ultimate boss, you as a worker. That's the analogy here. That's the parable here. So think about it as you have clocked in. You can do what is good for the company, or you can do what is bad for the company. But if you cleanse yourself from the bad stuff of the company, and you basically make yourself honorable in the eyes of the boss, well, that's good for the house. Be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, the boss, ready for every good work. What happens in a regular job here on earth? when you do these things. You get promoted. You get a raise. You get acknowledged. You get awarded. You get noticed. You stand out. Those are all things God promises you if you stand out, if you show exemplary work service, if you are somebody qualified and cleared and approved by God. You will be promoted. You will get a raise of the greatest kind. Rise up. You will not live in horrendous conditions for the rest of time. You will live in the greatest of conditions for the rest of time. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. That means get away from immature things and pursue what is good and holy and pure. Faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord for pure heart, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. To be fair, Eli and I have this conversation quite a bit. Do you know how easy it is to get involved in foolish controversies online when you're not in front of somebody? You could spend an hour. Oh, yeah. If you notice, you barely ever see a response from me on social media, good or bad. You barely see me correspond on social media anymore. And that doesn't mean that I don't want to talk to you. It means I learned my lesson from Facebook days, and I'm never going back to that. It wastes time. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make dollars. That's what I always say in the business world. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everybody, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Mind blown. We're supposed to sit and patiently endure evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. This is a worker approved by God. These are the qualities he wants you to have when you're on the clock, folks. Can you do it? Or will you be fired? Will you be put on notice? Will you be suspended? God may perhaps grant them, the ones that are evil and rude and wrong and unrepentant, he may grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth if you conduct yourself on the clock the way you should. Now, remember when I told you I went into Cumbie's the other day and that guy was not conducting himself the way he should at work? What happened? He got into it with somebody because he wasn't conducting himself correctly at work. I imagine if his boss was there, his boss would have been like, go home, take the rest of the day. Folks, if we're going to act our best, if we're going to be on our best behavior at work for a boss that we are enriching, while we get a month-to-month or week-to-week paycheck? No, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't work that way. But if we're gonna follow those rules and adhere to that kind of a behavioral standard, then how much more should we do for God? And then it says, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Now, I've got a long video to show you now. And I thought this was very, very important for today's word. I actually think it's very important regardless of anything. I think this right here, what you're about to see, is one of the greatest things that you'll see today. It is the beginner's guide to studying the Bible. And if we don't know how to study the Bible, if we don't know what we're looking for, if we don't get in the right environment to do so, then we're never going to be able to be approved by God to be a worker of his. And that's not what I want.
There is no greater way to get to know God, his character, his nature, his goodness, and the life that he has for you than reading his living word. And yet, most people don't do it, right? People around the world, and with good reason, they would say, well, I don't really believe it in their own mind, and so because they don't believe it, they don't do it. Or some Christians might say, well, I tried to read the Bible and it was boring to me, or it didn't really apply to my life. And so people have access to God's word and yet either don't take time to do it or when they try, they don't really understand it. I would argue that, especially for Christians, that the biggest reason that so many Christians don't faithfully study the Bible, besides the devil trying to talk them out of it, is that they don't know how to do it. Where do you start if you're gonna study the Bible? And how do you study the Bible? So what a lot of people do, I found just in my experience, is they typically do one of two different things. They'll do what I did as a kid, and I thought, okay, I need to read the Bible. And so they start at the very beginning. They start in Genesis, this and it's so relatively true. Interesting so and exciting. True. And they read Exodus, and it's pretty interesting and kind of exciting. Then they get to the book of Leviticus.
Yep.
And they die in the book of Leviticus.
Yep.
They put it down in the book of Leviticus. And if you're not laughing right now, it's because you've never read the book of Leviticus. And so a lot of people will try like that and they kind of get into it and they don't get very far. And so they stop. Or there's kind of a second thing that a lot of people do. I call it the lucky dip method.
Yep.
The lucky dip method is when they say, I'm just going to open up the Bible and I'm just going to point my finger to a verse, and whatever that verse says, I will do what it says. I'm going to do it right now, just so you know. The lucky dip method, whatever this verse says, I will do it.
Oh, how many have done
Ezekiel 4:12.
I've done that so many times.
And you shall eat it as a barley cake, baking it in their sight on human dung. That is in the Bible. And I actually pre-planned that. I actually put it there. But that is a real verse, and that's typically what happens as people just put their finger in there. They just kind of end up in a weird place. That is a method, but it's not the best method. So I have a very, very, very strong goal. And what I want to do over the next couple of weeks is I want to sincerely and very practically help you learn how to study the Bible. And when I tell you that this could be two of the most important weeks in your journey with God, that is not an overstatement at all. What I'm going to ask you to do, and I know this could be a big ask for a lot of you, is to not just be at church this weekend, but like we're going to go for 2 weeks in a row. Crazy, I know, like, okay, but like 2 weeks in a row. And if you can't do it because the weather's too nice next weekend or the weather's too bad or the game's too good, could you at least pick it up online, take it seriously? Because if you learn to study the Word of God, it can be one of the most important things you ever do
Amen.
In your journey with God.
Amen. Learn how.
Here's what we're
going to
do. We're
going
to talk about
it.
How do we study it. And we're actually going to study it. We're going to talk about how to do it, and we're going to apply it. We're going to study a short book in the New Testament. We're going to study the book of filet mignon in the New Testament, which is not really filet mignon, it's really Philemon. And we're going to learn how to pronounce the books of the Bible. For example, the book of Job in the Old Testament is actually the book of Job. But I called it the book of Job when I was 20 years old in a Bible study, and that was embarrassing. We're going to learn how to pronounce it. But I'm very, very excited to teach you the Word of God. And the reason is because the Word of God is living.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to stop for a minute. What he just said about knowing even how to pronounce the names, right? How to even pronounce the names, very important. Here's another thing. I used to say 1 Corinthians, even knowing how to say it, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, not 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 3 Timothy, 4 Timothy. And I think it's important to notice, and he might say it in this little thing that he's doing here, in this Bible study, he may say it, but one thing that's very, very important to understand is the Bible is not just a book. The Bible's a library. The Bible's not just a book. And I did put the link to this video in the lower chat, okay? Let's get to it.
It's
here we go.
Living, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. The Word of God will speak to you, it will guide you, it will protect you, It will empower you.
Amen.
It will guard you against temptation. It will renew your mind. It will build your faith. It will show you every heavenly riches that you have in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
It is truth, and it is the truth that will set you free. Today, we talk about how to study the Bible, and we're gonna get really, really practical. Let me give you five thoughts we're gonna look at today, and then we're actually gonna apply it in the book of Philemon. The first thing you wanna do, number one, is you wanna choose a translation that you understand. The second thing you're gonna wanna do is you're gonna wanna choose a time, a place, and a plan
yes.
to study the Bible.
Let's go.
The third thing that we're gonna talk about today is we're gonna seek to understand the context. We're not just gonna read a verse out of context, but we're gonna understand the context as we do. The fourth thing is we're gonna read slowly, and we're actually gonna ask questions of the text and to God as we read. And then number five, we're gonna pray for God to speak to you, and we're gonna apply what he shows you. We're gonna
Amen.
Do these five things, choose a translation, a time, a place, understand the context, read slowly and ask questions, and ask God to speak to us and apply what he shows us. So we're gonna do that in the book of Philemon, and we're gonna start in verses 7 and 8. What I'd love for you to do is wherever you are, those online too, it's no fun without you. Everybody, let's read these two verses aloud together. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, I'm ready.
Ready.
Online, type it in the comment section, I'm ready.
Type I'm ready,
it in,
I'm gonna
ready.
Type it in,
are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it, read it
Everybody
aloud.
Type in, I'm ready right
For
now,
For we
okay?
have such great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, thou I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient.
What?
Wow. That was awkward.
Yes.
That didn't make any sense at all. Why did that not make any sense? Thought number one, choose a translation you understand.
Yes.
That was the King James translation. Some of you may say, now, why in the world are there different translations and what is a translation? Let's try to understand this. The Bible is actually a book written in three original languages. It's written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And so there are Bible scholars who translate a word in Hebrew, and the word could mean this, or it kind of means this. And so they'll choose the best and most accurate words. How many of you notice that language changes over time?
Sure
when
does.
Do you think the King James translation was translated? Anybody know the answer?
1600.
The year of 1611. Do you think the English language has changed any since the year 1611? I don't know about you, but I think it's changed since this morning.
Yeah.
Like I got Gen Zers in my home, and I just found out somebody told me I had Riz. I didn't know if that was dandruff.
Yes.
I had no idea. That's charisma. I got Riz. In case you know, I got Riz. So language changes over time. If you go back to 1611 and you look at this text, it says, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Back at that time, people thought that humans felt emotions in their bowels. Today, people would say, well, you probably feel emotions in your heart. So a modern translation would take the original word and would translate it into a language today based on the original intent. Now, there are over 3,000 different translations on the YouVersion Bible app alone. How in the world do you choose one? And the answer is, I'll give you some advice. I'll tell you what I like, and my advice is just my opinion. There are a lot of different opinions. People would disagree with me. You're gonna read some stuff that says, these are bad, whatever. I'm gonna give you my opinion based on a lot of study. I'll recommend four to you. I'm gonna recommend to you the NIV, the NLT, the New King James, and the ESV, English Standard Version. NIV and NLT would be on the side of more current language, accurate, but more like people speak today. New King James and ESV and also the NASB are more on the very accurate side, without being as current in the language. So I personally study NIV, NLT, and then I look at other ones to see along the way. In my opinion, those are all very, very strong translations. My top two I like to read are NIV and NLT. You can choose your own as you go. But we're gonna start with choosing a translation that we understand. The second thing we're gonna do is we're gonna choose a time, a place, and a plan to study the Bible. Here's what I really recommend, that you have a consistent time and place. Doesn't really matter when or where, but I would recommend that it's consistent. If you don't have a consistent time and a place, you're not likely to do it. If you ask my opinion, I would recommend when possible to do the morning. And the reason I like the morning is because you're starting your day with God's word that will align your heart, renew your mind, and direct your steps. That may not be possible with your schedule, but when it is, that would be my recommendation. Then I'd recommend you have a place. It might be your favorite chair. It might be your kitchen table with your Hebrews coffee mug. Little New Testament joke there for those of you that are Bible scholars in the New Testament.
Yes.
You might look at what you prefer as far as the method. For example, some people prefer a paper Bible so you can write in it and you can feel it and turn the pages. Other people might just have time on a commute. They prefer to listen, or reading might not be as easy for them. You might prefer digital because you have the Bible with you everywhere you have your phone. You might go through a book of the Bible. We're studying through maybe 1 Corinthians. Or you might have a devotional, a little book that you read. You might have a YouVersion Bible plan, over 32,000 of those available to you to go through something that could be helpful to you. So what we're gonna do is we're going to pick a translation that we understand. We're gonna choose a time, a place, and a plan. The third thing we're gonna do is we're gonna understand the context of what we read. And what I wanna do is I wanna try to show you why this is so important. It's more important than I can describe to you. I'll illustrate it this way. What would you think if I told you that someone took a photo of me?
Oh, this is good.
With another woman who is not my wife out in a town all alone at a restaurant. That would probably raise concern. And that really happened, is really true, but context matters more than you can imagine. Because I was caught having dinner alone with another woman out of town, all alone at a restaurant, and this woman was my daughter, Mandy. I was so happy about this time at a ministry event in Denver with her, and she was so happy about sushi, I took this picture to remember it. We were all alone on a snowy night, only one other couple in the restaurant, who unbeknownst to me took a photo of me and sent it to a volunteer saying this: "Does this look like Craig? It is Craig." And the next one says this: "And he's with another chick." Amazingly, the volunteer happened to say, "Funny, yes, it's his daughter. Where are you?" And then they said, introduce themselves. Of all the odds, as they were accusing me of being with another chick, they happened to send it to a volunteer who knew Mandy, texted it to Mandy at the table while I was sitting there and turned and looked over at that other couple.
Context matters.
Amen. More than you can imagine.
Amen.
It was a really sad day when I realized that I cannot eat with one of my daughters without getting accused, or I have to hold up a sign that says, "This is my daughter," or I have to say, "Forget you, I don't care, meet with my daughter." Context matters more than you can imagine. So let's talk about the broad picture of context for the Bible. Let's start here. The Bible, we need to understand, is a library.
Yes.
It's not just a single book.
Yes.
In fact, I'll explain it this way. The Bible is a collection of 66 different books. It's written in three languages, across three continents, over a 1,500-year period. by 40 different authors, including shepherds and farmers and tent makers and doctors and fishermen and priests and philosophers and kings and on and on. What is it? It's actually a collection of poems, prophecies, letters, laws, histories, and biographies written by people and inspired by God, telling one unified story that shows us our need for Jesus and teaches us to become like him. So when we understand what the Bible is, then we want to understand the context of what we're reading, and we're going to ask essentially three simple questions every time. We want to know who wrote it, we want to know to whom was it written, and we want to know what is its purpose. Who wrote it? To whom was it written? And what is the main story of the book of the Bible that we're reading? And so we'll start with Philemon, and we'll try to get the context as we're reading Philemon, and we'll start in verses 1 and 2 and see if you can pick up the context as we go here. What do we see? We see Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To, who is he writing to? He's writing to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, and the church that meets in your home. If you want to learn a little more context, you might get some extra resources. There is a QR code that's going to come up on the screen in a moment. You can go ahead and capture this now. If you don't capture it now, your campus pastor will give it to you at the end of the message. And those of you online, it will come up again at the end of the message for you. On the other side of this QR code, we have several resources and a very detailed study to help you learn how to study the Bible. For example, you'll see on there the YouVersion Bible app created by our church. If you want to learn the context of the book of Philemon, there's actually 11 studies on the book of Philemon in the YouVersion Bible app. You may get what I have here, and this is a study Bible. For example, this is Philemon, and if you turn right over here one page earlier, you have the context of Philemon and read things like, it consists of 335 Hebrew words, and it explains the context very simply to you. If you do a very, very, very simple study like this, what you're gonna find out very quickly about the Bible is this. You're gonna find out that Paul wrote Philemon's. Paul wrote it. He says up there that he wrote it. You're gonna find that it's the shortest letter that he wrote. What's interesting is you're gonna see that he was actually, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He doesn't say Paul, an apostle. Almost every other time he writes an epistle, he'll say Paul, the apostle. And the reason he's doing this is he doesn't want to pull his official rank on his friend Philemon. He's writing this letter as a very, very dear friend. So if we're gonna summarize what we find out, we'd find out this. We're gonna find out that Philemon was written by Paul from a Roman prison. Remember he said a prisoner of Christ? To a wealthy man named Philemon who led a church in his home. We're gonna discover that it was written about, and this is if you just read through Philemon, you're gonna see this guy named Onesimus, who was a runaway slave. We're gonna see that it was written about Onesimus, a runaway slave, who had evidently stolen from Philemon. We're gonna discover that Onesimus, this runaway slave, he stole something, he runs to Rome, and by the providence of God, he meets Paul. And Paul leads Onesimus, the runaway slave, to Christ.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna discover the purpose of this letter. Paul's purpose, and this is crazy, was to encourage the Philemon, the small group leader, or the church pastor and wealthy business owner. He was gonna encourage Philemon to forgive Onesimus, the runaway slave, and accept a slave as a brother in Christ.
How did you guys like that Bible study this morning? Now, that has another 20 minutes left. I put the link in the live chat. I also put the link in the permanent comment section that will be there now and after the video's done. How did you guys like that? This is the kind of stuff that I watch as I learn. I mean, I watch a whole bunch of stuff, and 9 times out of 10, I don't even, you know, archive it or save it or put much value into it because I'm learning. And if it doesn't feel right, if the Holy Spirit doesn't say, hey, listen to this, then I just kind of listen to it, let it go, But if we don't study like that, then we don't know how to answer questions in the field. If we don't train and go through a training process, a real one, then how are we supposed to handle ourselves in the field? How are we supposed to be on the job representing God if we don't even know? So I was a salesman for a long time, marketing, advertising, and high-level sales. And when I mean high-level sales, I mean like I was put through like very, very expensive training programs to do high-level sales. And one thing that I'll never, ever, ever forget is that you're never, ever selling a product. You're selling the solution. Always. Meaning this. If I'm a homeowner and I need to put a hole in my wall for whatever reason to run a pipe through or whatever, and I don't have the tools to do it, I go to the you know, Home Depot or the local store, and I try, and I'm going there because I need to buy a drill so I can drill a hole into the wall. Now there's a million drills to choose from. Now if I'm the salesman at Home Depot and you're coming in and I say, "What do you need?" And you say, "Well, I got to drill this hole, blah 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 blah. I got to do this, I got to do that." The customer is not there to buy the drill. The customer's not there to buy the bit. The customer's not there to buy a very specific drill, a DeWalt, a Milwaukee. The customer there is there to buy the hole. That's what the customer there is there to do. The customer's there to buy the hole. It is your job as the salesperson to find out the solution and direct them to the solution. So you could sell them anything you want because you're selling them the solution to their problem. Well, the same thing when you're spreading the gospel. You're giving the truth. You're giving the solution. You're giving the diagnosis and you're giving the cure. So ladies and gentlemen, remember that always, okay? When you're out there on the job, remember what you're doing. You're not there to try to take advantage of somebody or ruin somebody's day or take somebody's money or whatever it is. You're there to give them a solution. If you're a good salesman, you're there to give them a solution, period. Now, a lot of people would say you're there to sell yourself, you're there to sell a relationship. Now, not if you're a good salesman. And when I say good, I mean good at your job, plus people love you and trust you because you're giving them a solution to their problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for Rise Up today. I hope this message today really gripped you. You got to have the credentials and you got to do what you're supposed to do out there in order to represent your company and your boss. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Crispy, Unafraid, starts right now. I love each and every one of you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And I'll see you at 11 for 2 hours of Live from America. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, be credentialed. That's what it's all about. Have a great morning. God bless you. See you later.
Come and consume.